Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Oh, good morning. Good Friday morning to you. You can see right there, we got some contract details on Brock. You're not burned out on Brock. This is interesting stuff. There's Justin Verlander right there. He is on the injured list, which gives the Giants maybe an opportunity to bring up Carson Wisenhunt or other options. We'll give you that as well. Ton to get to today. Plus, I don't want to oversell the sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose. I didn't put it up on the board. Actually, I did. The Shaq walk run and the Chick-fil-A story. So I did. We'll do a sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol. Thanks for joining us for episode 148 on this Friday. It is John Lund Unleashed. Thanks for joining us. And please make sure that you are subscribed. Maybe you're watching on one of the many platforms that the show is on, and you're saying to yourself, well, I'm cool watching on Instagram, or I'm cool watching on X at John Lund Radio. Maybe today I'm watching on Twitch or Facebook, or I should be working, but I'm watching on LinkedIn just because you can't get enough of John Lund Unleashed. I get it. It happens. But if you would migrate over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, that would be outstanding. Please give us a follow. Please give us a follow. Please give us a like. Please put your alerts on, because we probably have about four or five pieces of content a day, and it is high-quality content beyond the show that is Monday through Friday, actually Monday through Saturday. We get a little bit of a later start on Saturday. But it is great to have you in, however you are watching. But we'd always love to have you at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. And remember, johnlundunleashed.com. That's where we put the blog together. Got another story that I'm writing over the weekend. The blog is there. Archives of the YouTube shows, archives of the podcast, which right after the show, we hit the podcast, John Lund Unleashed on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We do that as well. So lots of different ways to watch or listen to the show. And we never take your listenership or viewership for granted. So make sure. And by the way, thank you. Thank you. Thank you is what I should be saying for that. Also, make sure that you are subscribed. I know I'm asking a lot on Bay Area Sports Collective, because if you are, I gave you this announcement yesterday, and they don't give me many announcements, but I'll make it one more time today before we get to stuff. Bay Area Sports Collective welcomes, now in addition to my show and Tom Tolbert and Polly Mack, all former KMBRers, Polly Mack, who's with Creative Tony as well, and they do an awesome job. They're today at 11 a.m., but Amy G., has joined. She has a great podcast, Girl, How'd You Get That Gig, about women in media, which is awesome. Saw Jeremy Affeldt's show yesterday. I was watching on Instagram, Built for the Storm, which is not only him talking, you know, amongst himself, which he did yesterday, but he has guests on all the time. And they talk about how they made it, not just all the positive stuff, but how they made it. And it was really cool. And Jeremy yesterday was just on a bender in terms of talking about chemistry of ball and how the Giants and what they need to do. And it was just really fascinating stuff. So make sure that you're at Bay Area Sports Collective. And then our good friend Rod Brooks last night at 7 o'clock was on, and quality hang with Rod Brooks and friends. So we've added those, and we'll add more to the Bay Area Sports Collective. So please make sure that you are following and subscribed on YouTube for that. So great to have all of those people aboard. So anyway, thanks for joining us. Happy Friday. Remember, this is not the last show of the week. We'll have a Saturday show tomorrow as well. And I'm going to talk to Krug, but I am assuming that we're going to have a bottom of the pint between the two shows. We do that collaboration for Giants home games. And the Giants are actually, it's an early game today in Washington against Kevin Franz and the Nationals. So that's what's going on as far as the Giants are concerned. All right, it is episode 148. Before we get out and say good morning to everybody, episode 148, Brock's Real Deal. Now, I think to yourself, man, we've heard a lot about Brock, but you know what? The 5 and 265, the 181 guaranteed, that's not the deal. And I'm not trying to say that I'm David Lombardi, but I do think what is important in these situations, like, I'm not overly driven by stats or numbers or contracts or anything like that. They do matter. But I like to try to focus on the court, the ice, the field, between the lines and those kind of things. But sometimes you do got to talk the business side of sports. And in this case, it's important to know what Brock Purdy's deal really is, how it affects the bottom line for the 49ers. What's the number for next year? How big of an effect does that have? Because everybody freaked out, right? oh my God, he's going to make $50 million. How's that going to, oh, that's why they're blowing the team up. Clearly, that's why they're blowing the team up. No, it's not. You're going to be amazed at the number and actually what Brock's contract says. I cut off the W there, but that should say who replaces Verlander, Justin Verlander, down for a while. I got some video for you to show on that and some ideas on what they should do and why is what that is. Giants at 50, not their age, at 50 games. It's moving fast, and that's about, I mean, 50-50-50 is 150 games. We're at 162, so we're not technically at the third point of the season, but that's really, I mean, a quarter point, yeah, but you get to the third point. I think you kind of are what you are unless you have the injuries. So I'll talk about that. Like I said, I caught Jeremy Affeldt on Thursday. I'll discuss schedule to the halfway point of the season. I've got that slowed down on Oklahoma City. Look, they're really good. They're playing really great. But people are trying to compare them to like the Warriors or some of the great Bulls teams. It's like they're really young and they've won exactly zero things. Minnesota has not looked good. This is certainly not the Minnesota team that played the Warriors, but give Oklahoma City credit for that. I think the Warriors probably from a matchup standpoint give Oklahoma City a better series, but you know what? I'm not counting out Minnesota because they haven't even gone home yet. So a lot of things can change, and Oklahoma City's young and they're really, really good. Don't get me wrong, but the accolades that are being thrown on Oklahoma City, just a smidge premature. So we'll get into that too. Some fans, this thing that Liam Hendricks, the former closer for the A's, posted, my God, man. And then we'll get into the Sweet Clean Family Friend, the Caboose Pistol with little Shaq and Chick-fil-A and random things happen throughout the show. But you know that if you're a regular viewer or listener of the program. Good morning to everybody. I can see we got a great group in, as we always do in this on this Friday morning. Remember, if you want to get your things on the show, your questions, comments, thoughts, you can hit me up on a super, very nice way to contribute to the program for all that we give you, of course. Make sure that you jump on and give us one of those, and you will 100% get your comments, questions, thoughts on the air. So good morning to everybody. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Friday edition of the show. We got a lot of crazy stuff going on in my household, so I think and I hope that everything is going great in your world. All right, let's get to things. Brock's real deal. So you're saying to yourself, Lund, man, I am burned out on some Brock, and I totally understand that. But as you see right there, there's the big fat contract. There's a little Justin Verlander for episode 148 as well. But this stuff, I'm telling you, is important. This stuff is important. So let me just pop his contract up just for some fun, all right? Because there's a few questions that need to be answered. First of all, everybody's freaking out over his first year, right? Oh, my God, the first year is going to crush him. That's why they had to break the team up. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've told you the whole time. That's not why they did this. They did it because Hufanga's injured and he would have been overpaid. And Hargrave was a complete bust. And Debo's best football is behind him. They blew it on Dre Greenlaw. No one's going to deny that. But everybody else, Charvarius Ward was never going to come back. PTSD, his wife wasn't going to come back to the state of California. And they wanted the guy from 2023, not the guy from 2024. Renardo Green was actually better. So et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not why they broke up the team. And as exhibit A in that whole thing, if you look at the cap hit for the first year for Brock Purdy, $9.1 million. $9.1 million. So it's not a prohibitive hit. Now to go from a million to nine, is that a lot? Yeah, but an $8 million hit, that's like gross Matos, right? I mean, that's not a ton of money. It is, you know, to me and you, we'd be like, one, did you say $9 million is not a lot of money? What I'm saying is the cap hit, which is what matters at $9.1 million, is still extremely low as far as quarterbacks are concerned. So they didn't break up the team because Brock was going to get all this money. Second year of the deal, $24.7 million. That's not crazy money. Think about it. George Kittle's cap hit's going to be $24.7 million. Like, for a quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo's number in 2017 was that. So, again, second year of the contract, not going to kill the 49ers. Now, third year of the contract, you're making about $31 million. Again, that's Nick Bosa money. It's not quarterback money. Lots of quarterbacks are making that money. So, is that a lot of money? Yeah, it's a lot of money. But is it a reason why the 49ers couldn't pay players if they wanted to pay players this offseason? No, it's not. So 9, 24, and 30 for the first, and let's be honest, let's round these things up to where they should be. So 9, 25, and 31. Let's be accurate. All right. If I'm nothing but accurate. So 9, 25, and 31 of the first 3 years cap hits. Those aren't prohibitive. Those aren't crazy. Those aren't reasons why you have to tear your team apart. That's why I wanted to show this to you, because you're like, oh, my God, Brock's contract again. No, Lund. They don't have that's not why they did what they did in the offseason. Those are not crazy numbers for the first 3 years. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, everybody. Fun with numbers. I was told there was no math on the show. I get it. I hate math, but we have to do this. So you see the first 3 years, $115 million. After 3 years, if they don't love Brock Purdy, and this is why it's such a joke to national media. Oh, my God, they gave him $265 million. Oh, my God, they gave him $191 guaranteed. Oh, my God, he's just not worth it. He's overpaid. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so the first 3 years, it's $116 million. And as I told you, that's not prohibitive. That's low on the scale. All right? After the third year, and we're well-versed now in dead cap space, Javon Hargrave, all these different guys. Remember Russell Wilson, Broncos ate $50 million. The Jets this year are going to eat $50 million of Aaron Rodgers' contract. If at the end of 3 years, this is a short-term marriage. At the end of 3 years, if they don't love Brock Purdy, or that kid they just took, Rourke from Indiana, is all they're like, this dude can play. They reset the number at the position. I'm just hypothetically speaking here. They can get out of the Brock Purdy contract after 3 years for $16 million on the dead cap hit, which isn't very much money. Everyone wanted to get Brandon Ayuk this offseason. That would have been a huge cap hit. Hargrave's going to cost you money. You know, every single year, they got a bunch of dead cap space. $16 million to get out of your quarterback if you don't love him after the end of 3 years is not a lot of money. It's not. $16 million. Teams take cap hits like that all the time. So this is why it's important to talk about the deal because, oh, my God, it's $265 and it's $181. Here's his contract. It's 3 and 115. That's the contract. And if they don't love him, he's out after 3 years. What a deal by the 49ers. 3 and 115. And Brock gets his money. Now, he could see the fourth year of that deal, and it jumps up to about $58 million in the fourth year of that deal. Now, again, before you vomit on your cornflakes this morning, $58 million. Remember, the last 2 years of the salary cap has gone up almost 50%. 25-25, almost 50%. So by 4 years from now, $58 million for a quarterback on a cap, that's not going to be a boatload. I mean, it's a lot, don't get me wrong. Where the contract to me really ends is he's not going to see 72.5, and he sure as hell isn't going to see the 64.5. By that point, they're going to renegotiate the deal. But they could get out after 3 years. So a couple of things we learned today. It's not $265 million. It's 3 and 116. That's the contract, and they can get out for $16 million at the end of three. Brilliant. The cap hits are not prohibitive. 9.1, 24.7, 30.8. Those are low numbers for a quarterback. They did not tear the team apart because Brock Purdy is going to cost them so much money. It's a great contract. Brock gets his money. Nobody says he didn't. He got his deal, and you can see at the bottom there. Full no trade clause. Brock's side wanted a bunch of money. Right up front, $100 million, see under contract notes, $100 guaranteed at signing. So he's getting his money. Everybody wins. Brock's going to still take care of 10 generations, 20 generations of his family. The 49ers have a low cap hit for him, 9.1 next year, which will be on the low end for quarterbacks, way low. After that, let's just call it $25 million, still low. After that, $31 million, still low. And then after that, they can get out if they don't love Brock Purdy. That's the contract. So when people look at contracts and they freak out and, I'm just here to educate. I'm not here to sit here and do math. I hate math. Hate it. Got through math 101 in college. Never saw another math book after my freshman year of college and never want to see one again. But I just like to get the facts straight. I just like to bring facts to the table so that you know what you're talking about. When the national media freaks out and screams and yells and goes, he got $265 million. He's overpaid. Blah, blah, blah. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He's not paid like a top 10 quarterback, but he sure as hell is. So that's the good news on Brock Purdy. They did not tear apart the team this offseason to the extent that they did, whatever you want to call what they did in this offseason. And I don't think they did. I think they trimmed fat. Talanoa Hufanga, Deebo Samuel, Javon Hargrave. I'm sorry to say this about Charvarius Ward because it was the off-the-field stuff, but he wasn't very good in 2024. They just decided they weren't going to pay veterans who they didn't think were worth it. And Jed York looked at the roster and said, we're bloated, man. Let's get sleek. Let's get some young guys in here. Let's see what they can do. I'm not saying they're going to be better. I am saying that I don't think, Deebo was traded for a fifth-round pick. What do you think the league thought of him? Oh, my God, we're going to miss Deebo. Well, then why didn't they get a better pick for Deebo if he was so good? Sorry, I'm not buying it. So, anyway, that misnomer of they had to tear the team apart because Brock was going to make so much money. Well, the numbers are 9, 25, and 31 in the first 3 years of the deal, and they can get out of it after three if they don't love Brock. And if they still love Brock, you're going to see them move money around. They're going to see it, you manipulate this thing all the time. So when everyone freaks out, I guess here's the overall story on this. When everybody freaks out over the cap all the time, it's fluid. So at the end of those 3 years with Brock, they're going to look at his contract again and they're going to renegotiate. And there's room in there for them to, because it's in all NFL contracts. They can move money around all they want in a contract. It's there in black and white. And then when the number becomes huge, like it was with Fred Warner at 29.7 that jumped up from 12.2, they renegotiate it. When George Kittle, who had 1 year left on his deal, and it was too high of a number, it jumped from 12 to 22, they renegotiated George Kittle's contract. Guess what? It's lower. Same thing. They just do it constantly. The cap is fluid. And Brock's deal is not prohibitive. And it didn't make the 49ers get rid of these guys. They wanted to trim fat. Hargrave wasn't worth it. Debo was getting paid like a top 10 wide receiver. Is he a top 10 wide receiver? No, he's not. So on and on and on and on. And look, you can disagree with what they did. And I'll go back to this. People in the local media said the 49ers were not trying to win. I know, I'm an insider. I said that they're not trying to win. They're taking a step back, blah, blah. No, they didn't. They trimmed fat. And Brock's contract is not prohibitive. Not the first 3 years. And when it becomes that way, and by the fourth year, like I said, when it's a $57 million number, with the cap going like this, and think about it like this, and I'm sorry that I have to get into the business side of it. Amazon, all these other, all these entities, right? You don't want to have to spend all this money on these different platforms. It pisses you off. I get it, right? Netflix, Amazon, all these different ones that it's going to be on. Do you know how much they're paying? You know how much money they have? Apple is going to get involved in this. Money, 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 money. It's not just TV anymore. So all these different platforms, all these different ways it can be delivered, that's all revenue to the bottom line, which means because in the contract between the players, between the union and the NFL, revenue means the cap goes up. The pie is the pie. If the pie grows, we get more of the pie. We don't get more of the pie. We get higher revenue means more money for everybody. So what that means is the cap's going to continue to go up. It's not going to go down because these entities are all, even though it pisses us off, they're all bidding on the NFL, which means the number is going to keep going like this, which means the cap is going to keep going like this. So when you see a $57 million, you go, oh my God, they're going to have to cut everybody. No, they're not, because the number just keeps going up. And I've said this story before. Andrew Luck was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL in 2016. He made $24.6 million. Now Dak Prescott's making 60. So that was 9 years ago. Well, in the next X amount of years, four for Brock Purdy, if you use that same kind of math, the average for the NFL quarterback is probably going to go up to like $75 million, right? It's going to be $70, $75 million, and he'll be at 57. So I'm not saying that that's what they want to do, but I am saying it's three years into the deal, and the numbers are 9, 25, and 31. That's not prohibitive. That's what Nick Bosa's making. He's making $30 million. So he's making in the first, quarterbacks are outrageous, but not next year, not the year after, not the year after that. So they can still field a great team. The decision was not based on Brock making money. The decision was based on these are older players making too much. We're going to cut down. We spent a bunch of money. What was the number? $334 million. And Jed said enough. This is stupid. Why am I paying Debo Samuel top 10 money when he's dropping a slant across the middle on a Thursday night against LA at home with our season on the line? I'm sorry. He's just not explosive anymore. He's like a running back. He doesn't have the legs for it anymore. We don't think so. And the NFL agreed because they got a fifth round pick from him. So anyway, you get the idea. We don't need to overkill on this whole thing, but next time you'll know when the national media freaks out, Brock Purdy is very much a bargain, not a $1 million bargain, not the bargain of all time that he was his first few years in the league, but a $9 million cap hit and a 25 and a 31, massive bargain at the position. That's what the 49ers did. Nice job. This is another thing. I don't know why. I don't know how this popped up, but Ross Tucker does a great podcast. He was on our show lots of times on KNBR, and then we'll move on from Brock Purdy. This is what I used to call it when I was on the radio. Don't confuse me with the facts. So in other words, if I was on a rant, a roll, and everything, and maybe my facts were just a tiny bit off, which I pride myself on them being on, but sometimes you get rant and rolling and whatever, and you don't, I was on the air for 4 hours every single day for 25 years. It's like I might say something wrong every once in a while. But I do believe that maybe the national media should listen to Greg Cosell on occasion. Greg Cosell has been with NFL Films for, I don't know, 50 years now. He was on our show weekly for a number of years, became a friend of mine, saw him many times at Super Bowls and hung out, and just a great guy. If you don't know him, what he does is he sits in a room in Philadelphia, and he just pours over film, NFL film during the season, college film in the offseason to help with the draft stuff. He is completely non-biased. He just looks at the film, and if you ask him a question to give his opinion, 100% of the time he'll say, that's not my job. My job is not opinion. He doesn't have favorites. He doesn't play favorites. He just looks at the film. The player can be player X, Y, or Z. He doesn't care. He just says, this is what the film tells you. And so when you interview him, you have to know, like, you can't ask him opinion-related questions because he's just going to tell you, no, that's not what I do. What I do is I look at the film and I tell you exactly what the film tells me. He's like a film whisperer for the NFL. And so he was on the Ross Tucker podcast. I saw this morning and wanted to play it. Now, you know these things, but I pound the table constantly about them. And because I'm not Greg Cosell, people go, whatever, that's just Lund. But the national media guys who are ranting and raving and talking and yapping and talking head shows, and I get it. Everybody's got a different role in media. Okay, so you do have the guys who are just yip-yapping. So I'll give you a great example. We're watching, and then I'll play this Greg Cosell cut for you. We're watching the pregame last night for Oklahoma City and Minnesota. And it's Malika Andrews, who does an amazing job, especially keeping the dorks that they have on that show under control. She's great. Oakland zone. And then you have Screaming Ann one end, who just looks off into the distance constantly because he doesn't want to listen to anybody. He's just there to talk, right? He's just a shooter. He's Allen Iverson, right? He doesn't want to listen to anything. He just wants to shoot, right? And then you have Kendrick Perkins on the other end with no credibility whatsoever. Yip, yap, yip, yap, yip, yap, yip, yap. And they just tell him before the show, hey, Kendrick, these are the three takes. These are the three sides you're going to take on these topics. Yes, sir. And then you have Bob Myers, who's actually done it both as an agent and as a championship winning executive. And then you have Mike Malone, who actually coached the game, right? So everybody's got a different role. Mike Malone is a coaching perspective. Bob Myers has a big picture, how teams think. And then the two jackasses on the end, right? And I get it. Everybody's got a role. So I was trying to explain to my wife as we're watching that exact thing, like, look, Screamin' A's got a role, say stupid stuff. And Perkins has a role, say stupid stuff, and fight each other. And then you have these guys in the middle that if you actually listen to them, they'll tell you what's going to happen. So Bob does this brilliant breakdown of the game and what teams are thinking. And Mike Malone talks about from a coaching perspective what is going on in the series and some adjustments. And they're really good and insightful things. And then Screamin' A comes up with some surface thing that has no depth whatsoever. And then Kendrick yells back at him and stuff like that. And I'm just like, you know, during the day, that's fine. If during the day in those talking head shows, you guys want to yip-yap back and forth, whatever, it's fine. It's low-hanging fruit. But during the game, before a game like that, Mike Malone and Bob were so good, just so good in giving you insight and things you could use and everything. So there's different roles in the media is my point, all right? And I get clicks, and I understand, and I know where things go, but it's just really refreshing every once in a while to hear someone say something intelligent about the position without any kind of bias or worrying about clicks or anything like that, because Greg Cosell's way too old for that. And he's secure in his position and he doesn't call guys out. Like I said, he was on my show on KNBR and 95.7 The Game for years. And I knew him before that. And I've stayed in touch with him after that. He's a great guy, right? He's just a great guy. And he's on lots of national shows. And it's because he's different and he just looks at the film. So anyway, I've given you enough of an intro. Here's Greg Cosell, because they were talking about Brock's contract, and here's Greg Cosell on Brock's superpowers and why so many people get it wrong with him.
People see a quarterback execute at a high level, which Purdy has done for most of his 30 years, okay? That's a fact. You can't argue with that, okay? That's what he's done. They assume that it's the system that allows a quarterback to play at a high level, particularly if it's drop back stuff. Obviously, when you watch a Lamar Jackson run around or Josh Allen do what he does. But when it's essentially a pocket quarterback executing the system at a high level, people automatically assume it's the system, Ross, just like you say. It is really hard to do. I remember years ago talking with Steve Young, and we were talking about Bill Walsh, and Steve Young said that It is so hard to do that. And the greatest compliment that I could ever get from anybody is I make it look easy. He said, it is so hard to execute that system at a really high level. Talk about quarterbacks. I do it. We all do it. We fall into that trap. I try not to. But people talk about physical traits, arm strength. Can he run around? You know, it's funny. I was just talking with Jack a moment ago, you know, your guy Jack. Yeah, he mentioned Lenora Sellers from South Carolina. Perfect example. 6'3", 240, big arm, can run around. Anthony Richardson, you've mentioned. But they don't talk about what are really traits as well, which is the ability to understand the game pre-snap, understand what you're looking at, throw with timing and anticipation, be able to instantly recognize disguise and late coverage rotation. These are things that Brock Purdy is very, very good at. And really, when you get down to it, if you listen to someone like Tom Brady talk when he does NFL games, that is what quarterback play is more about than the ability to throw the ball really hard 35 or 40 yards down the field, or the ability to run a 4-4-40. It's the nuances, the details. Quarterback is a disciplined craft. Purdy is at his best. Last year, he was not quite as good as he was in their Super Bowl season, but this is the nature of his game. This is what his game is about. He is a disciplined craft quarterback.
All right. You just got smarter. I just got smarter. We just got smarter together because that's the position. So what we do as a media, all right, I'll just generally say this as a general thought is we don't want to get intricate. We want low-hanging fruit. We want clicks. We want all these things. Brock is not sexy. Saying that he is mentally as good or better than any quarterback in the league, that's not sexy. We can't see that. It's not tangible, right? I mean, it is tangible, but it's not a 4-4-40. It's not a rocket arm. It's not Justin Herbert going out to the right and throwing a 65-yard bomb on point to the end zone. Nobody cares that he only does that one out of every 10 throws, and Brock is much more consistent. What gets highlights? It used to be dunks. Now it's threes. You know, it's parking lot threes. So that's all anyone cares about is they cut the highlights so that Justin Herbert makes this throw or Lamar Jackson makes this run or Mahomes does a no-look pass. And then we are conditioned as fans and media and everybody else that that's the greatest player because we saw that one play that nowadays is clipped like a fillet in the middle. You only get the great, the meat, right? The perfect part. You don't get any fat or anything like that. You don't watch a full game. Who would want to do that? Who would want to see that Brock Purdy got up to the line of scrimmage, got them into the right play? They don't understand that. They had three plays at the line of scrimmage. Brock looked at the defense and goes, I know what they're trying to do. And he took a, you know, what would have been a 5-yard loss is actually a 7-yard gain. Well, that's not sexy. Huh? I don't get it. He got to his third or fourth read. So what? Jalen Hurts can't do that. But Jalen Hurts took off out of the pocket and made a great 20-yard run. That's not normally the position. I'm not ripping on any other player. I'm saying that there's a guy in Greg Cousseau with no bias whatsoever said exactly what I've been saying for a long-ass time. And last year, yeah, the third year of his tenure with the 49ers, he lost Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk, and the line played poorly and everything else, and you can call that an excuse, and I'm totally fine with it. But it's an explanation. And the guy who just signed a 3-year, $115 million contract is going to easily live up to it. And then the 49ers will have a decision to make in 3 years. So anyway, I wanted to just tie all that together because everybody's like, Brock, Brock, Brock. I understand. Because we've been talking a lot about Brock, but it's important. So it's important you know the details of the contract so that you know that the team can still construct itself in a certain way. You know now that in 3 years, the 49ers will have a decision to make. 3 years, they can get out of it for $16 million, or before that, what they'll do is they'll renegotiate at that third-year point, or maybe they'll hit that fourth year at $57 million on the cap. Then they'll renegotiate after that because then it goes to 74, and he's not seeing that money. And I tell you that all the time. You know when a contract ends because the thing explodes. Brandon Ayuk's fourth year of his contract is $43 million on the cap. He's not seeing that. Just like I told you last year that Fred Warner wasn't seeing the $29 million that he was going to see on a cap hit this upcoming season. They redid the deal, just like I told you, George Kittle's contract. Well, that's when it's up. They renegotiated the deal. It's not hard, this stuff. It's not. You just have to go to Spot Track or Over the Cap and go, okay. Because nobody wants to do that because the media doesn't want to do that because that doesn't fit into a narrative of Brock is overpaid. Just like you just heard Greg Cosell go, you know what his superpower is? It's a mental superpower, but that's not sexy. How the hell do I show that on ESPN highlights? How do I show mental capabilities? It doesn't work. But Lamar running 50 yards and spinning a bunch of times and breaking tackles does, and Mahomes throwing a no-look pass does, and Stafford or Herbert throwing it through a brick wall does. Like, those things translate, and then people get it in their mind that those are the best quarterbacks. And sometimes it does mean that, but many times it doesn't. Who are the best quarterbacks of all time? Tom Brady? Did he do it physically? I don't know. I saw that picture just like everybody else at the combine. Didn't look like it to me. Joe Montana, was he physically the best player on the field? Probably not. You know, go on down the line. That's not what the position is, but for some reason it's drilled into our head that that's what it's supposed to be. You have to be 6'5", 240, have a rocket arm, move like Lamar Jackson, all those kind of things. That's where the 49ers got in trouble before. They thought that Trey Lance was going to be it. They saw him run over guys at a certain level of college football and ignored the fact that he hardly had any starts and was playing 7-on-7 football in high school in South Dakota or Minnesota, I guess it was, and they fell in love with this athlete. And that's the problem, is they do these pro days and these kids and these guys have brooms and they're running after them and they throw the ball. And oh my God, you see what Cam Ward did? He threw to his right and threw it 60 yards down the field. Yeah, let's not mention the fact that there was no pass rush and no defenders, but hell, he looks good. You know, these training camps that they are, these OTAs that they're showing, there's no pass rush, there's no defenders. Oh, but that was a pretty ball. It has nothing to do with the position. Nothing. Wow, he scrambled right through the ball. It was a rocket. Awesome. Can he read a defense? Does he know? Can he do anything pre-snap? Does he know where the ball is supposed to go? Can he get through his progressions? Is he on the same page as his receiver? Outside leverage, ball goes in. All these different basic things that a quarterback has to do that Brock can process in less than the 2.3 seconds he has until a 300-pound man rips his face off. Can you do that? Can you stay composed in the pocket? Because Kaepernick couldn't. His eyes went down and he ran. That's what happens. Eventually in this league, you have to win from the pocket. He mentioned Steve Young. Ask Steve. Steve says that every single time, that he was an amazing athlete coming out of BYU and can run it and do those things. And at times he used those legs and used that athleticism. But the majority of his career, when he became a great quarterback and a Hall of Famer, Steve Young won from the pocket. It's what he did. He'll tell you. That's the position. And for some reason, one of the biggest misnomers in sports, and it's not just us fans and media, it's the people who make the decisions. They cannot get past this fact. It's just like this. It's tunnel vision. 6'5", 240, runs a 4.3. Gotta have it. No, you don't. The greatest of all time don't have it. They didn't have it. They had the mental game, which isn't sexy because you can't sell that on ESPN and you can't do that through highlights. Oh my God, did you see Brock go 1, 2, 3 in the progression and hit the right guy? Wow, that's not sexy. Anyway, I'm over it. I'm done. episode 148, Brock's real deal. I told you that. We'll get to who replaces Verlander, but I forgot to put Greg Cosell up on the screen there. But Greg Cosell, awesome, man. That's just Greg Cosell is my favorite. He is the best. All right, let's move on to some Giants talk. This is interesting. Lots of Giants stuff coming up as they are in Washington to take on the Nationals and the fighting Franzens. Here is Dustin Verlander. We played this for you the other day. He was having a chest issue, but he didn't want to disclose what was going on. Now it's been disclosed, and now Justin Verlander's on the injured list. Here is Justin yesterday, or day before, I guess this was, describing the situation.
A lot about kind of where I'm at, and after today, I think it was borderline if I'd be able to pitch, and they don't want me to kind of go out and risk injury. Clearly last time wasn't right, so didn't want to do that again. And then looking ahead, if I skip one start, you know, I'm fairly positive, and I told them this, fairly positive I'd be able to make the next start. Can I say 100% no? But I think that's the problem, is not being able to say 100%. You know, I need a few more days to determine that, and you know, the retroact date for the IL is today, so that's where I'm saying, like, the best thing for the team is, like, you know, and they're saying just give yourself a blow, take the 15 days, and let's get this thing behind you and be ready to go. So you know, the worst case scenario would be like, hey, okay, I'm pretty sure I can make the next start, and then, you know, unfortunately something happens or doesn't bounce back as quick as everybody thinks, and you know, then it's like, oh no, I can't, and that kind of hamstrings our starting staff and some other guys. So
off the stage there, so I wasn't in Justin Verlander's way. Okay, Justin Verlander, by the way, over his last six starts, a 2.97 ERA. So Justin Verlander's been really good over his last six starts, or pretty good. He's just run into some bad luck. So we say this all the time. Logan Webb, last start withstanding, ace, no problem. Number two, Robbie Ray has pitched absolutely great. All-star level, he's number two. Hayden Birdsong, who, by the way, oh, I meant to tell you this. I invested in some Hayden Birdsong cards, some really good ones. So maybe, just maybe, he avoids my jinx, but I couldn't help it. And I bought a few cards, and they're nice ones. And so we'll see. I didn't go overboard. I bought like maybe three nice ones. And I know there's some people who are collectors, but I bought some really nice cards. In fact, I'll pop them on the show here. I ordered them. So so I'll let you know when I get them, and I'll show them to you. But they're nice. They're like autos and rares and all that kind of stuff. One of them's like one of five. One of them's like one of 50 or 49, and then one's like one of 150, and two of them are autograph cards. They're nice. Anyway, I digress. So hopefully Hayden Birdsong can be that third starter. And I told you at the beginning of the year, I thought when they signed Verlander, they should look at him as a four starter. He's going to get hurt. He's coming off a neck injury. He's 42. I love the guy. He's going to be a Hall of Fame, no brainer, Hall of Famer, all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't mean that you can't say that there's a question when he's 42 years old. And I would have slotted him in as a four. I think the Giants honestly thought he was going to be a two. Anyway, to me, I think if Birdsong can be the three, Verlander can be the four. Now you're cooking with gas, and who knows who's going to be your number five. So that's what's going on as far as Justin Verlander is concerned. Now, what's interesting to me here in regards to him is, I think this is Alex Pavlovich who wrote this piece. Right here, if you can read that, Harrison. Okay, so the three that they're looking at essentially is what this piece said. Piece is that if they went with Harrison, you can see in the second paragraph, Harrison could give the Giants about 50 pitches if needed. Jordan Hicks, no thanks. Jordan Hicks could go 90 to 100 pitches. This is without Verlander. They just put Hicks in the pen. You know, you just took him out of the rotation for a reason. Had a 6.55 ERA in the rotation. Please no. All right, I don't want Hicks. If Harrison can only give me 50 pitches, come on, man, that's a bullpen game. I don't want that. So then you look at the bottom here. The Giants also could opt for a big promotion. Left-hander, Carson Wisenhunt, blah, 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 blah. So there, this is where it gets fun. So do you go Kyle Harrison, who's not quite stretched out and could give you 50, and then it becomes a bullpen game and you're taxing your bullpen, which we're 50 games into the season, and I'm telling you, because this happened last year, they had the second most bullpen innings in baseball last year behind the Tigers, did the Giants. Please don't burn out your bullpen. Please don't burn out your bullpen. So I don't love that idea. Nothing against Kyle Harrison. I just don't love that idea. You just took Jordan Hicks out of the rotation. Why? Because he was ineffective. He had a 6.55 ERA. Yeah, he could throw 90 to 100 pitch if he had to, but why don't you just get him comfortable in the pen again? No. Carson Wisenhunt has earned the promotion. And one thing I'll give in, like, we all agree that Farhan sucked. All right, he had the one big year and everything else, but he drove you crazy. And I liked him personally. He used to come over the show, and he had that funny laugh, and he was kind of dorky and a nerd and everything, all those kind of things. And I'm glad that Buster's in and he's out. But one thing I'll give him credit for is if a guy deserved a promotion, he brought him up and just to kind of see what he was all about. You know, he churned the roster constantly, and it drove you crazy. And I'm sure the PR people for the Giants are like, Jesus, really? You know, they were writing releases like two, three times a day. But give Carson Wisenhunt a shot. Let's see what he's all about. He was just pitcher of the week in the PCL, which is not an easy place to pitch. The guy's pitched his ass off this season. As organizationally, I would just have a philosophy. If somebody's earned it, okay, he's just kicked ass. If somebody's earned it, let's just give him a shot. And I've seen Hicks. Harrison is not quite up to where I need him to be. I'm going to keep him in the pen. I've kept him there all, you know, since I brought him up. This is where I kept him. Let's just keep going. Let's keep it rolling. Or maybe I put Harrison back down to AAA and I bring up Carson Wisenhunt and I stretch Harrison out just in case Wisenhunt isn't good enough. Because I don't want to do it at the major league level. I don't want to, you know, because what you're doing is you're potentially losing games. Okay. It's 50 pitches, 60 pitches, 70 pitches. Like we're doing it at the major league level. That's a minor league thing to do. So go stretch Kyle Harrison out at the minor league level. Well, it doesn't hurt your major league team who is in contention for a playoff spot. All right. This isn't little league and everybody gets to play and all this kind of stuff. That's not what it is. So Kyle Harrison, then have Wisenhunt come up and have Harrison go down and have Harrison stretch out a little bit and let's see what happens. But he's earned the promotion. That's my bigger point here, is that when a player goes nuts, whether it be offensively or as a pitcher or a reliever, whatever the case may be, the guy's earned it. He was a pitcher of the week in a really tough place to pitch or league to pitch in. So give him a shot. It's he's at his height right now. He's at his height of confidence. He's feeling great. He was just named pitcher of the week. He's crushing it. From an organizational standpoint, this is what you do. This is what makes sense. Because when a guy kicks ass and deserves the promotion, you give him the promotion. That's how it works. So nothing against Kyle Harrison. Jordan Hicks, you're in a different role now, so I don't want to mess with that. I just took you out of the rotation. We're not going to yo-yo this thing. I don't want to do that. That's not what you should do organizationally. So it's time. Carson Wisenhunt should be brought up. He should get a start. He should get a couple of starts. I would go to him and say, look, even if you suck today, you're going to get at least a couple of starts. Because you heard Verlander say, well, you know, we weren't sure and this and that. And it's like, look, man, you're 42. Let's give you a little bit of a break. You've run into some bad luck. I'm not down on Justin Verlander at all. But it's like, hey, you know what? Again, it's about maintaining this through 162 games. And we're 50 games into the season. In fact, let me just pop this up. I mean, through 50. So we're almost a third of the way through this whole thing. 162 games, 50-50-50 is 150. I understand that, but we're getting close to that. And you're two games behind the Dodgers. You're ahead of the Padres. You're ahead of the Diamondbacks. Not by much. You know, you're a loss behind. In fact, I look at losses. You can't give losses back. You get more wins, you can't get less losses. So I always look at the loss column. So in the loss column, well, you're technically ahead of the Padres because you're two wins ahead of them. You're one loss behind them. And you're only three ahead of the, and then God, look at the Rockies. But anyway, point is that we're 50 games into this thing. And if you didn't think the Giants were real, the Giants are real. So what I would be thinking is, okay, long-term, what I'm going to do here. First of all, I'm going to give Verlander some time off. I want him to be not only 100%, and this isn't possible, I know that, but I want him to be 110. I want him to be beyond. I don't have to rush him back, all right? I have options. So Harrison goes down. He's the move. He goes down and he gets stretched out in case Wisenhunt stinks. And I tell Wisenhunt, it's not going to just be one start. Don't put a ton of pressure on yourself. We're going to do a couple of starts here. Don't worry about it. He stretched out to be a starter. Jordan Hicks, you've already got a position in the bullpen. We just moved you. We're not yo-yoing you back and forth. It's a pretty simple solution to me because, like I said, that's what you do as an organization philosophically. You say, if a guy deserves a promotion and we can give him a promotion, we're going to do it. That's what it is. That's what happened with Ramos last year. He was kicking so much ass and the Giants were struggling. It was like, look, this guy deserves a promotion. I know that we kicked him to the curb early in spring training, which they did last year with Ramos, but it's like, he's playing so well that at the height of his confidence, then you move him up. There's a method to this madness. So I don't need to rant about it. It's just, if they don't make that move, then organizationally they're wrong. I don't care. Buster knows and all those guys know, and they know, you know, they know Wisenhunt. They know all those kind of things. They know a hell of a lot more than I do. But surface and looking from the outside, when a guy is pitcher of the week, when a guy's pitching with this much confidence, you give him a chance. You see what he can do. And then what he does is after those two starts, Verlander comes back. Maybe he's so good that you're like, damn, he's our fifth starter. You know, best case scenario is, okay, Webb, Ray, Birdsong, Verlander, and this guy Wisenhunt is just pitching his ass off. Sorry, Landon Root, but you know, you got to go down to AAA. This guy is so good. Again, this is not Little League. We're trying to find the best five. And if this guy's pitching that well, then you have, because Landon Root has gotten a chance. Hicks has gotten a chance. Harrison hasn't completely, but we know what he's about. And I've said this many times. I think he might be, just because his pitch mix is limited, I think he might be a reliever long-term anyway, and he could be really good. But I'm not down on him. I'm simply saying that, if, as Alex Pavlovich writes in the piece I showed you, if he's only at 50 or 60 pitches and that's all he can give you, then that's a bullpen game. And I don't want a bullpen game. I want starters. And this kid's a starter, and he's at the height of his confidence right now. You put him in, you give him those two starts. If he's absolutely great, awesome. If he's not, then here's the upside to it. Here's the great part of it. He knows what he has to work on now. He's dominating hitters at the AAA level. He really has nothing left to prove at this point right now. And so, again, the logic is, not only are you saying, if you play well, we will promote you, so you're giving that hope to all the players within your organization, but also what you're doing is, okay, let's say he falls flat on his face. Now he knows what he has to work on. Oh, damn, this isn't AAA anymore. they're going to hit that pitch I just threw. Oh, I just hung that? That's in the left field stands. Okay, I get it. I understand now. So now he goes down to AAA after those two starts, and he knows exactly what he has to work on. It's not a surprise the next time he comes up. Because you're early enough in the season. This is another thing they do. It's early enough in the season. Bob Melvin gets a real good look at him. J.P. Martinez, the pitching coach, gets a real good look at him. Everybody knows he's not in awe. Maybe if he has to come up later in the year, let's say there's an injury, a major injury, and all of a sudden it's like, well, we got to rely on this guy now, and we're in the pennant race. Oh, he's never been up here before? So there's all these different reasons why you bring him up. He's confident right now. You need to see what he's all about. He needs to see what major league hitters can do and what exactly he needs to work on if he doesn't pitch well. And if best case scenario happens and he's great, then Verlander comes back as your four. He's your five. Sorry, Landenroop. Sorry, Kyle Harrison. Hicks is your long guy, et cetera. Hicks has already had a chance. Harrison's only 50 pitches. You get it. Anyway, give me your thoughts. But I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a no-brainer of what they do here. Giants at 50. I already gave you that. Caught Affelt on Thursday. I did mention that. And by the way, I just wanted to mention this. Thanks for joining us. It is John Lund Unleashed, by the way, as we are 46 minutes into the show on a Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure that you are subscribed. Hit that like button before you get out of here today as well on YouTube, and keep those alerts on, because not only will we have the show today, which we do Monday through Friday, and actually start a little bit later in the morning on Saturday, but we do 6 days a week, and then we'll put some shorts out. We're on all the platforms, so all the different platforms that you may be on. We're, of course, on Instagram today, at John Lund Radio, X, at John Lund Radio. We're broadcasting live on Facebook, LinkedIn, and other places, so make sure that you can hit us up. But we'd love you to come over to YouTube and tell all your friends and enemies, please, and subscribe, hit the like, and have those alerts on, because we'll send more stuff out today. But I caught Jeremy Affelt, and he's part of, let me pop this up again. Let me see, where is that announcement? He is part of a new bunch of podcasts that we've put up at the Bay Area Sports Collective. So not only do you subscribe on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, but the Bay Area Sports Collective, which Amy G has got a podcast, Girl, How'd You Get That Gig? So it's about women in media, which is awesome. There's Jeremy Affelt. He had his first show with the Bay Area Sports Collective yesterday afternoon, which was awesome. I watched him on Instagram. Great insight into the Giants and as a former ball player. And he's just hilarious. You know that. And then there's Rod Brooks and Quality Hang with Rod Brooks and Friends. And he was on last night at 7 o'clock. So make sure that you go to Bay Area Sports Collective and subscribe, because then you'll know when those new podcasts are on, besides me, John Lund Unleashed, Tom Tolbert Show, and Polymax Particles with Creative Tony, which will follow me today on the Bay Area Sports Collective at 11 o'clock. So caught Jeremy Affelt yesterday. Awesome. Scheduled a halfway. Let me give you this real quick on the Giants. Through 50 Giants schedule. So this is going to, they're at 50 right now. So Washington, that's three. They're not a playoff team. You got to play well. Detroit, if you're not paying attention, that's the best team in the American League. Best team in the American League. And look at the, see, and this is where Roop as that third one. But the Washington game, there's an open slot there. Could that be Wiz and Hunt? There's an open slot in the first Miami one. Who could that be? But Detroit is the best team in all of baseball, and it's Birdsong, Webb, and Roop for that one. Then that open space we just talked about. Miami stinks, so that's Ray, Birdsong again. And now it gets interesting. You got four against the Padres. Four, I tell you, against the Padres as you're getting June going. Then Atlanta, and I've told you, Atlanta got off to that slow start, but they're going to be a factor in the wild card race. Colorado stinks, historically bad. And then the Dodgers. So how many games is that? 3, 6, 9, 13, 16, 19, 22 games. So that's 72 games into the season at the end of that run, which you're almost to the halfway point. 81, let's do some math. God, this is the second time I'm asking you to do math on the show. It's not a good day. So you're 72 games into the season at that point. There's 22 games on that by my quick math. And the key to everything is you've got to go 500 on the road, and you got to win 2/3 of your games at home. That's at least what you have to do. And another key to a long baseball season is the teams that you have to beat, or you should beat, you beat them. So you need to take 2 of 3 from Washington. You at least need to get 1 in Detroit. You need to take 2 of 3 in Miami. Now you're coming home. It'd be great to get 3 of 4 out of San Diego. That's going to be difficult, but that's what you're shooting for. Atlanta, you're at home. You want 2 out of 3. Colorado stinks so badly, but you're at Colorado, a place you haven't normally played well, but you'd like to sweep Colorado. and you'd like to keep your head above water at LA and at least win one. I mean, that's kind of how it goes, and you'd love to win two. But that's 22 games right there, and it's critical. Washington stinks. Detroit is great. Miami stinks. San Diego's good. Atlanta's good. Colorado stinks. Dodgers are sometimes the best team in baseball, although you hate to admit it. So that's the deal. That's the next stretch, and it's a massive stretch. And when there's 162 games, you're not going to go win-loss, 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 win-loss. You're not going to do that. You break it down into bite-sized pieces like this. But these are important games tonight. Landon Roop's got to pitch well tonight. I mean, that's just how it is. Robbie Ray's got to maintain. Birdsong is always one that we're going to watch. And then those blank spaces, I hope, are Carson Wisenhunt, at least for now. I hope that's the one Saturday. I hope that's the one on the 30th against Miami. To be honest with you, I know those are road games. But this is another thing that I'd look at when I was thinking about Carson Wisenhunt. Your first two starts would be at Washington. They're not great. And at Miami, they're not great. And you're not going to have pressure. There's not even going to be anybody in the stadium in Miami. You'll be fine. So road starts, you'd like to get guys home starts, everything like that. But Washington and Miami aren't good teams. They're sub-500 non-playoff teams. Who else do you want them to pitch against? I mean, you're not having them pitch in Detroit against the best team in the American League. You're not having them pitch against the Padres or the Dodgers, you know, at least not right out of the gate. So anyway, that's to go back to Wisenhunt. He deserves the promotion. You got to see what he's all about. All those different reasons I gave you, but also soft landing spots against Washington and Miami. So to me, it just makes too much sense. But that's what the Giants are doing. And if you told me through 50, they'd be a couple of games behind the Dodgers, you'd have taken that 100% of the time. So great stuff. All right, that's where we are. Episode 148, Brock's Real Deal. I told you about that. If you missed it, go back to the beginning of the show, or I will put the chapters up a little bit later on in the show, and you can just click on whatever it is that you want to watch. Plus, I gave you a little bit of bonus Greg Cosell, which I did not put up on the board there, and he told you what it takes to play quarterback in this league with no bias whatsoever without screaming and yelling. Who replaces Verlander and why? I told you that. Giants at 50 games, caught Affelt Thursday, not literally, I was not a catcher, but I caught his show, which is awesome. And we have those new shows on the Bay Area Sports Collective. Scheduled the halfway point, I showed you that, almost a halfway, I should say, 72 games. And here we are in the NBA. So before I move on, let me hit the comments and we'll hit a little bit of an NBA discussion. Lots of people in the room today. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And remember, if you want to get your stuff 100% on the screen, just hit me up with a like or a super sticker or something like that, and we'll get those things on the show. Look at that, man. I got tons of things on the board. Sorry, I'm trying to zip through the board here, and it's giving me a little bit of grief here, but am I going the right way? There I am. I was scrolling the wrong way. That's why. I'm back. Football talk over. I'm telling you, I was educating you. I tell you that. Yeah, bottom of the pint. And good morning, East Coast Red and Gold Podcast. Bottom of the Pint is Larry Kruger and I's combined show that we do live during Giants games. And I was going to say Bottom of the Pint tonight, but the game's early. So it would be like a late afternoon happy hour kind of a thing, which I love. I love Bottom of the Pint. So, I mean, what's that thing going to be, like 4:30 or 4 or something like that? So, yeah, I love early. Early Bottom of the Pints are amazing because then it's fun. Then you're like, basically, yeah, I'm going to chug some pints. What's great about it is that it's happy hour and it's like day drinking and I'm done by like 8 o'clock. So yeah, I'm not chugging beers this morning, but I could tonight. I definitely could. Let's see, what else do we got? All right, let's move to some NBA stuff. I got a ton of respect for Oklahoma City. They're really good. I'm not saying they're not, but by the process of the way everybody's talking about Oklahoma City, let's let them win something first. All right. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the MVP. I have no issue with that. I think I would have voted Jokic, but that's fine. They have a bunch of nice young players. They're going to be good for a long time. I have a ton of respect for their general manager, Sam Presti, who's got a Spurs background. Guys know what he's doing. He absolutely stole Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Clippers in a Paul George move. He's just, you know, they still have more picks to come. I think in the offseason, whether they win or they don't win, I think that they've got a lot of depth on this team. I think they'll probably try to go out and get another, you know, veteran. I think that would be something they might do, although they may just say, hey, we're going to win a championship and we're not going to do anything. That's possible. That's, you know, when the Giants won 101 games, it was their best chance, or 107 games, it was their best chance to go out and get some really good players, and Farhan sat on his hands. I think you're either getting better or getting worse. So even if they won a title, I think they'll go out and try to get some guys and balance this roster a little bit better. And I think the Warriors should take a look at what they did. They went and got Hartenstein. They drafted Holmgren, but they're difficult to deal with because of their size and their athleticism on the perimeter. They've got it all. Now, I'm not going to count out Minnesota because Minnesota's now going home. They haven't even had a chance to go home, and everyone's knocking them out of the playoffs. So we'll see. Ant hasn't been good. Julius Randle hasn't been the player that he was in the Warriors series. And I feel like from a matchup standpoint, the Warriors probably would have been better against Oklahoma City with Steph, but it didn't get that way. So I'm not going to knock Minnesota, but I'm also not going to throw them out of the playoffs because they're down 2-0 and they lost two games on the road. And I think Oklahoma City's getting a smidge too much love right now, but that's fine. I think the Knicks would give them a hell of a series. That's going to be a great game tonight. I think that Halliburton having that fun in game one, it's a little bit immature. If that was game seven and you knocked New York out and you did the choking thing and everything, you did it premature because it was a 2 instead of a 3. You thought it was a 3 and the game was over. So I give them a ton of credit for gathering it back, even though they thought they won and everybody ran on the court and then they still beat New York. So that was absolutely huge. But I think the Knicks will bounce back, and I think it'll be Knicks OKC. Plus, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So you think Indiana is going to play Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals and the NBA is going to be okay with that? No. It's going to be the Knicks and Oklahoma City. They're not letting two small market teams play in the NBA Finals. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I believe that, and that's what I think is going to happen. So anyway, that's the NBA side of things. I'm just saying slow down on OKC. And then, look, I love to have fun on the show. You know that. I'd much rather laugh and joke and tell stories and all those kind of things. I don't necessarily love to get hardcore serious, even when I'm talking about Brock's contract. That's not life or death. Liam Hendricks is a great guy. Had him on numerous times when he was on the A's. Went to the Coliseum and spoke with him on a couple of occasions. He's just a good dude. All right, survived cancer. Just one of the best guys, one of the best professional athletes that I've had the pleasure of talking to. Really good dude. So then when I saw this from him, he said, "Threats against my life and my wife's life are horrible and cruel. You need help. Leaving comments telling me to commit suicide and how you wish I died from cancer is disgusting and vile. Maybe you should take a step back and reevaluate your life's purpose before hiding behind a screen attacking players and their families. Whether you do it from your fake accounts or are dumb enough to do it from your real account, I think I speak for all players who have had to deal with this in their career when I say enough is enough." I'm not talking to those kind of people because I know what the type of community that we've built here, but this is the reason I've tried to build this community here and really enjoy and feel fortunate that we have the type of people in this room that we do and how we weed out people if people are going to come in here and be trolls and idiots and assholes. Because, I'm not going to stereotype the East Coast to the West Coast, but I've done sports radio all over the country for a number of years. And I'm a West Coast guy, and I've always said that I think that we have things in perspective here in the West Coast, and a lot of times in the Southeast for college football or in the East or something like that, they don't. But this isn't about a part of the country or about passion. These are about assholes, and they're just trying to get a reaction out of people. But if you're going to wish death on someone because Liam Hendricks beat cancer, he blew a save, he did this, he did that, I don't understand it. And again, I know that I'm preaching to the choir here, and you aren't the people that would do these kind of things, but it's disgusting to me. He used the word vile, which is a great word in this respect. It's disgusting to me that someone would actually, and it's the ultimate in cowardness to me to have somebody, because it's happened to me through my career. If you have an opinion on something, if you're a bit of a public figure like I have been or anything like that, then yeah, people are going to take shots at you. And a lot of it is jealousy. And I understand that. And I understood that early in my career. I used to take it personally and get upset about it and everything like that. But as I got older, I developed rhinoceros skin and I just didn't care. I don't respond back to trolls. I don't get pissed at it. I don't, that's why I keep my family out of the spotlight. My wife is always like, well, what, I have fun with her here, but for the most part, I try to keep my family away from these kind of things and everything. Cause you want to take shots at me or call me stupid or what I say, whatever. I don't care. Like I said, I've developed rhinoceros skin through the years, but some people, especially young players or young people or people new to the media or whatever, they take shots back at people and you're just never going to win because that's giving them what they want. So Liam Hendricks didn't call anybody out specifically because he knows that's what they want. He just said, in general, it's vile and disgusting, and it is. And I don't know that people necessarily, believe what they say, but hiding behind a keyboard, as he says, is the ultimate in cowardice. And a lot of times what I find is it's people with an egg as their avatar, or people who, you know, if I look back, their account's deleted, or they're cowards. And they try to get a reaction out of somebody. And I think it's pathetic that because you are unsatisfied potentially with your life and you feel like this could give you purpose or whatever from an, you know, electronic standpoint, whatever, man, it's a pathetic life that you lead. So anyway, I don't know who I'm really even speaking to in this regard, because people here in this room would not do this, but I do think it's disgusting and vile that people would actually be able to type words like this to someone, to another human being. And believe me, I've seen it. I've seen it in person in terms of people yelling things, drunk people yelling things at people walking off a field or walking into a tunnel at a football game or something like that. And it's just the ultimate, you know, in just, you're disgusting and you're a coward. And I see why sometimes an athlete goes after somebody, because the thing is, and I think a lot of them are like me in this regard. And then if you want to take shots at me, whatever, I've put myself out on this forum and you can take all the shots you want, but you start talking about my kid, my wife, my family, my mom, that's a different deal. You know, and I think that's what he's pointing out too, is not only is it disgusting to say that you wish I would have died from cancer. Why? Because I blew a game, because I blew a save. You start talking about my wife and my family and all this kind of stuff. Disgusting. Anyway, I just need to get that in there. Like I said, we want to have fun and we don't want to dwell on these kind of things, but where I put some fans, I saw that today and I'm like, it hit me just because Liam Hendricks is such a good guy. And if people even knew him at all, and I'm not saying we're friends, man, we're not. We know each other, knew each other on a professional level. But he was on our show probably 3 or 4 times, and it was really great. And he's got that, you know, Australian accent. He's just a great guy. And he had perspective because he wasn't a first-round pick, and he didn't, you know, make it on the first day, and he worked his ass off. And then he comes back from cancer, and he's just a great guy to be around. And then to have people take shots at him, it's like, God, man, really? Dude beats cancer, and you're wishing he died? Like, what is wrong with you, man? All right, back to the fun. All right, it is sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol time. That's a tough transition. It is sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol time. And I got a few things for you. I got a video, I think. Oh, I meant to do that thing yesterday, and since it's a Friday, maybe I'll do that today as well. But sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol, this is how we end every single show. Let's do it.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol, everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
What do I have? Let's see here. Do I have anything? I thought I had an additional... Oh, they're both videos. Okay, they're both videos. Let me start with Shaq. This is so good. So you probably saw this on TNT where Shaq had to go to the bathroom. This is why this show is so great. And I'm praying, even though I know deep down ESPN's going to screw it up. I just know they're going to screw it up. Please don't put Kendrick Perkins on the show. I know they're just going to fight and they hate each other. And Charles City hates ESPN. We're going to put Stephen A. on there. We're going to put Kendrick Perkins on there. They're going to just ruin it. I know that Disney's and ESPN's going to ruin it. I know they're going to ruin it, but I hope they don't, but I know they are. Anyway, that's beside the point. So Shaq the other day had to go to the bathroom and just ran. And most people just got to be professional. Like Stephen A. Smith isn't running off the set like this. I mean, it's just not, it's hilarious. It's real life. And so anyway, Shaq had been drinking like, olive oil, like all these, you know how this is, like you see something on Instagram or something, this, you got a flat tummy. So he'd been doing that and it got to him. So anyway, he was on with Jimmy Fallon and they talked about this whole situation. So Shaq on TNT, but on with Jimmy Fallon talking about why he had to run off the show.
Why is, you know, what I,
you all right, big fella?
Yeah. Go ahead, keep talking, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. We on TV.
I know what we're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's that olive oil you've been drinking.
I know. Hey, take some matches with you.
Okay, so hold on a minute. Before he talks, my dad, this is an old thing. Maybe some of the younger viewers and listeners wouldn't understand taking matches with you. My dad used to keep a big, like, camp thing full of matches in the bathroom. And he would light matches when he had to go number two, and it would really stink up. So you'd walk in, and it was like, you know, just light a candle or spray something like that. But it was like sulfur. It was like overwhelming. My dad used to light matches. So when Charles goes, bring some matches with you. Anyway, my dad used to do that, and I started laughing when I heard that. Anyway, here's the response.
Wait, so, yo. What is going on? Why are we drinking? Why are we drinking olive oil?
Well, first of all,
what was going on?
I was drinking a lot of water that day.
Okay. Oh, I see.
So I know I had the number two run, but it was really a number one.
Okay, it's a number one run.
Yeah, number one run. Yeah. So let's just get that out the way.
Okay, perfect.
I'm drinking olive oil because I want to be sexy. So olive oil.
You don't need olive oil to be sexy. You're Shaquille O'Neal.
Well,
come
that's
on,
what it said on Instagram. So if you drink olive oil for 14 days, it clears stuff out, gets you a flat stomach. So I was trying it.
Oh my God. So you drinking olive
oil? You know what? I just made a mistake. Yeah. I lied to you on national TV.
What'd you say?
It wasn't a number one run, it was a number two run. I had to go back. Oh, I had to go so bad.
Lied to me?
I had to go so
lied
bad.
To me, man.
No, I did.
The next night, though, the TNT crew got you a little something. Look at this.
Did you see me squeeze my butt cheeks when I was running?
They put a porta potty on there for you. Whenever you need one, you go there.
First of all, to just go back to what I've been talking about for a number of weeks, because I worked for ESPN for a number of years, if you're new to the show, I just know they're going to screw it up. So I hope they don't, because they just need to be their own entity, kind of like McAfee's his own entity. Like, don't touch us. All right. Just we do what we do. And so I hope that's what they do. But, you know, they put a porta potty there. It's hilarious. You knew that was a number two run, by the way. And I'm glad he came clean on it. Nobody does a number one run like that. Like, you're not you probably still leave the set, but you're not doing this. You're not doing the duck walk. That was a duck walk, 100%. And that was a number two run. There's no doubt about it. I don't know anything about the olive oil part of it, but that's what's so hilarious. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen, like, I got to go. I have sat in radio studios going, God, I hope I make it to break. Like, I'm looking at it going, okay, we break at 11 after the hour. We're at 8. I'm like, oh my God, I got to go. But you also are like, you know, you got to be all casual and cool about it. But once I get like around a corner, I start running, you know, because it was far. Like, it can't be hard. That bathroom was far. And every single time, it seemed like every time I needed to really go, there'd be a guy cleaning it. And he'd look at me and he'd point to upstairs. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm like waiting for the elevator. You know, they're texting me going, hey, man, we're back in 30 seconds. Rough. Anyway, we're not digging ditches around here, but hilarious. Just like hilarious. I just hope they don't screw with the show. That was incredible. That was awesome. And I love the fact that he went, that was a number one walk. And we're all sitting there going, dude, that was not a number one walk. And then the fact that they bring the porta potty is amazing. So anyway, there's one part of the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. Love to get your thoughts on it. And then this one's really, I don't know, it's just a thought here. So in Atlanta, that's where Chick-fil-A is located. That's where Chick-fil-A is, their headquarters is located. They're doing these, I don't know, do they not want to pay Uber drivers? Is it really that expensive to have an Uber driver? They probably don't want to pay the expense that it costed them, all this kind of stuff. They're trying all sorts of things, delivery drivers. I was in Las Vegas recently. I told you that about a month ago. And there was a Chick-fil-A there. And it had delivery driver cars, like these little electric cars that the delivery drivers drive, but they didn't have the, you know, the little things like this I'm about ready to show you. So I guess they're too expensive to pay those people, but check this out. This is in Atlanta.
Wait, look, it's turning. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Where's it going? What do you do?
To retrieve your order, hold your phone with this order code. The door is open and good. Please.
It's so cute. Is that it?
Bye.
All right. Couple of things. First of all, I just they have services for this. And I guess Chick-fil-A, I mean, they're making gazillions of dollars. Chick-fil-A is awesome. The lines around the block. And I guess they don't want to pay Uber driver fees. I mean, it's not the driver. It's just that it's a certain percentage every time an Uber driver or whatever. And then, so like I said, I was in Vegas and I saw they had like five delivery trucks and they were all like, you know, one's coming in, one's going out. Like it's constant. People don't want to wait in that line. I get it. But if you see one of those things driving down the road, not me, not you, but certain people, like, you know, there's Chick-fil-A in there, and that's like gold. I mean, Chick-fil-A is good. You know, I can't eat Chick-fil-A, but like when the kids have Chick-fil-A and they come home and they got a bag of Chick-fil-A, I'm jealous. I'm pissed. And now they have like I don't know if you've had this sandwich. I've seen it because, you know, you watch sports and there's a million advertisements for it. They have a barbecue bacon one that's got barbecue sauce and my God, it looks amazing. Haven't had it. Looks amazing. If I saw one of those, let's say I was high and I saw one of those trucks and I know it's got Chick-fil-A in it, that thing's going down and it's going down hard. So we'll see. But my thought is, I don't know what those things cost. And that was really cool. The guy holds up like probably like a QR code or something that's on his phone. The thing says, okay, opens the thing up. He grabs the stuff out, probably flashes the QR code again. It shuts and gets and goes back to Chick-fil-A. But like lots of people that would be like driving down the road, they're going to knock that thing off the road. You know, they're going to get that thing and then they're going to just pry that thing open like an ATM machine. They're going to get the stuff on the inside. Like, I don't know. Maybe they think maybe they'll only deliver to certain places, but there are certain places that that thing goes and it's never returning. And you know that. Like, you just order like boatloads of Chick-fil-A and then that thing pulls up in your driveway. It's like, sorry, bro. You're not returning and we're getting that stuff out of you. Like, that's liquid gold in the middle in those things. Like, just driving right down the road. Like I said, it's like an ATM driving down the road. Like, seriously, you just got a bunch of Chick-fil-A in there and you think, let's do this. And there it opens up and let's get the stuff out and let's send it back. Like, the majority of people will do that. The majority of people will do that. But there's a large faction of the audience is like, I know how we can get a lot of free Chick-fil-A. Like, we're going to order like $200 worth of Chick-fil-A, and there's going to be a bunch of sandwiches and strips and all these really good things. The macaroni and cheese is awesome. Like, we're getting that. And those big waffle fries, free, no fee. It's going to come right to our house, and it's going to be like, give us the Chick-fil-A. We're not paying for nothing. Give us the Chick-fil-A. I guess you'd have to pay for it up front now that you think about it. You got to give a credit card. So it's, yeah, you're not getting it for free. But I do know this, that if it's driving down the road, I go back. If it's driving down the road and I'm driving and all, you know, late at night, I see the Chick-fil-A thing, I'm knocking that thing off the road. Like, it's going down. It's going down hard. Yeah. So anyway, I know what Chick-fil-A is trying to do. They're thinking, these fees for DoorDash, way out of control. I know people who own restaurants. I'm friends with people who own restaurants. They're like, these DoorDash fees suck. I get it, but that's not going to work. That thing is not going to work, I don't think. And that means I have a low opinion of society, but that Chick-fil-A thing is not going to work. So you can give me your thoughts on that. Give me your thoughts on the Chick-fil-A thing. I mean, I think it's really cool, and I think the concept is great, but I don't trust our country. Right? People are going to knock that thing right off the road, and they're going to steal the Chick-fil-A. Yeah, it's not going to come to your house. Like, oh, pay for it. I already paid for it. But people are going to knock that thing right off the road. Like, that thing's driving down the road, and you're looking at it, and you're like, Chick-fil-A? That's Chick-fil-A in there? Now, here's the problem. It might be deadheading back. You know, like after the guy took it out, then it's going back and you're thinking, I'm getting some Chick-fil-A. You knock it off the road and I'd already gave up the Chick-fil-A. So you got, you know, how do you know that there's stuff in there? That's what I think. I don't think it's happening. That's going to be short-lived. I've seen those. I mean, they're not the only ones. I've seen pizza places do it. I think Domino's does it or something. I get it. You're trying to steal the jobs. It's all AI. It's all that kind of stuff. And AI is going to take over the world. I don't think AI is taking that one. Unless they're going to do like tanks. Like that, maybe that thing was like a mini tank. But unless like that thing is like bulletproof and it's a mini tank and you can't get into it and people know you can't get into it, like an ATM, like you could drag it down the road and you got to do all these things to it. Then it's like, it's just Chick-fil-A. Like, it's not an ATM. It's not worth that. But anyway, I'm very skeptical that that's going to work long term. I think you just stay with DoorDash. I know that you hate the fees of your Chick-fil-A, but you're doing volume. You're fine. All right, there you go. That is your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. The Shaq walk run and the Chick-fil-A. Give me your thoughts on that. But I just, I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen long-term, but we'll see. What else do we have today? Episode 148, Brock's Real Deal. If you missed it, go back to the beginning of the show, or I will post a separate Brock's Real Deal, probably about 20 minutes if you missed it, because it is important that you know what his contract really says. Who replaces Verlander? Come on, man. It has to be, and I gave you all the reasons, so go back and we'll do it in the chapters if you missed it. It has to be Wisenhunt, and I gave you the reasons why. Giants at 50, Kott Outfeldt show, and the new podcast and YouTube shows. Schedule to halfway. It's 72 games, to be technical. Slow down on OKC. Some fans, come on, man. Liam Hendricks is a great guy. Shaq Walk Run and Chick-fil-A for the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol, and random things always happen throughout the show. Thank you for supers today. There is my good friend Fuji. Loot and pillage the food from the car. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I said, you don't know if the vehicle dropped off the Chick-fil-A already, so you could like knock the thing off and be like, oh. Or you could come up with gold and maybe somebody did, you know, order a bunch of Chick-fil-A, like hundreds of dollars worth of Chick-fil-A. They're having a party or something, and they got those party platters in there and all that stuff, and you've got, oh. Like, you just don't know. But Chick-fil-A, an electronic Chick-fil-A vehicle driving down the road. That thing's getting knocked off. Sorry. It's getting knocked off. Just is. You might as well just do DoorDash. You might as well just eat the fees, Chick-fil-A. It's happening. Like, there's no way. There's no friggin' way that that's going to – like, I understand a lot of AI things are going to happen. In fact, I'll do this story tomorrow. Did you hear the NBC story about the guy who's dead, who did the NBA on NBC voice work? And he's actually coming back in AI form. They got approval from the family. Have you heard this story? I'll do that tomorrow. What else do we have? Oh, there's Fuji again. Fuji's the man today. Bottom of the pint, grill cam today. I do have to get the grill cam out. You know what I'll do? The easiest way to do this, because I do have a camera on the studio here, but the easiest way is to like just move this to my phone for a minute and then just go outside. And I will do that. And I have the, you know what's funny, Fuji, is I have the grills today. Like, they have the covers on them. It looks real nice out there, because sometimes my wife is like, because the rest of our house is immaculate, very nice. We're both very clean people. We're both very organized. Everything looks really, really nice. I mowed the lawns actually last night, front and back. They look really good. But this one part next to the studio of our house has got just grills, and she gets pissed because she'll come walk out here and go, come on, man, the whole rest of the house inside and out look really, really good and organized. Can you just organize these grills? And so I did, and I put them next to each other and put the covers on them because we weren't using them, and looks real nice. Because, you know, people might pop by or whatever. And they'll come out and say hi to me, and then they got to, like, go through, like, a maze through the grills. And she's always like, God. So anyway, I did that. Looks nice. All right. We will definitely – I got to talk to Krug right now. In fact, he may have texted me. So let me see what we're doing as far as – bottom of the pint. That's why you keep your alerts on. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 148, and happy, happy Friday to you. So here's the deal. I'll put up that Brock thing by itself. We'll put a couple of shorts out on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. So make sure that you have those alerts on. And then bottom of the pint would start early today. What time did the Giants play anyways? Like 4:30, something like that? Hey, Siri, what time did the Giants play today? You probably already know. Come on, Siri, you're putting pressure on me, man. 3:45? 3:45? Oh, my God, I got to go. I got stuff to do, man, because 3:45 is going to come quick. All right, bottom of the pint, I'll talk to Krug about that, and I'll let you know ASAP. Other than that, we got another one. We got three. Look at Fuji. He's hitting it, man. So what do we got? Bottom of the pint, grill cam. Got that one. Loot and pillage from the car. People will do that. I don't trust society. And bottom of the, okay. So you got two of those up there. You are the man. Thank you, Fuji. Much appreciated. 3:45 for Giants today. So there you go. And that is that's it. 148. Episode 148. If you missed anything, go back to the beginning. We will put the chapters up momentarily. Listen to the show. Not only can you watch on all these platforms, but you can listen to the show as well. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We'll podcast up right now. We'll put the chapters up on the YouTube show. Do remember, you can put comments right there underneath the show. You agree, you disagree, you think I'm crazy, you think I'm high, whatever the case may be. Maybe you agree, whatever. Put it in the comments right there. You can also hit me up at all times at John Lund Radio on X, which I'm often on that platform. So make sure that your alerts are on. Please give us a like before you get out of here and tell your friends and enemies as we continue to grow the community at John Lund Unleashed. Have a great rest of your Friday. We'll talk to you later today when the Giants take on the Nationals. Happy Friday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!